So, John, I've always been very interested in experimenting with radio, particularly FM radio. It's a fantastic medium. It's available in every house all over the country. The coverage of FM is almost 100% of the country, and the listenership to FM radio is huge. Like, more than 80% listen to FM radio every single day. Nearly 96% listen every single week. So to me, it's about being able to, you know, broadcast to people. So the BAI, with their temporary license scheme, appear to be very flexible. I suppose Classic Hits 80s is the first actual brand extension that's been licensed by the BAI to an FM broadcaster. And by that, it means that, you know, it's an extension of Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, which is focusing on one aspect of our format. And I suppose, while it's the first brand extension of its sort, we did run a temporary radio station for Radio Nova in 2015 and 2016, which was called The Rock, which broadcast outside of Radio Nova's franchise area, which played classic rock music in Cork, Limerick and Galway. So that was kind of a brand extension, even though it wasn't linked to the Radio Nova brand. But this is very different in that it is unashamedly a brand extension of Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, available in the franchise area. So it is the very first one. And I think, you know, great credit to the BAI, as always, for their temporary radio scheme, where they'll allow anybody who has the interest to put on a radio service to do so.
So can I ask you then about costs when it comes to setting up a brand extension like this? Obviously, it's not just an online stream. You've a transmitter network as well, and you've staff involved. I mean, does this not affect a pretty tricky and tight bottom line in your existing operations, or is it something that you could absorb within the general budget available to Classic Hits Radio?
Well, it does present additional costs, but I think the level of effort we put into it reflects the costs and also reflects the return. I mean, I suppose when you talk about brand extensions, generally you're talking in the digital world, which is where you have these kind of what they call in the UK, they call them pure play radio stations. And that's generally what happens with brand extensions. You know, if you look at all of the radio stations have, brand extensions, but there isn't really any kind of major cost to those, and there isn't really any major effort. So yes, there are costs. We're running four high-powered transmitters in Dublin, Cork, Limerick and Galway. There's a cost to that, some of which come from Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, some have come from Radio Nova, some have come from various other temporary radio stations. So, you know, there are extra costs involved, but I think the effort and the excitement that we get back in return, and the impact that we have in the marketplace in terms of reinforcing our own brand, Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, are certainly worth it. And I think, you know, it's a completely different ballpark than putting on a digital stream on a server, on some sort of an automation system and letting it run.
And are you precluded from the temporary license system from taking advertising? Because I noticed that there's been no advertising on Classic Hits 80s.
We're allowed to run sponsorship. They're the terms of the temporary license arrangement, but we aren't allowed to take commercials. So I suppose because it's the first year doing it, we only actually got the go-ahead to do it on around the 10th of December. So we didn't really have an awful lot of time to prepare. So we focused primarily on the programming of it. We do intend to do this on a regular basis. And, you know, the sponsorship angle is something we look at, but it isn't really being done to make money. It's been done to reinforce our brand. So that's where we'd be with that.
And how successful have you been in promoting the brand, and how has feedback been gathered or been collated, for instance?
Well, feedback's primarily collated through text messages, emails, that kind of thing. And the response has been pretty good so far. I mean, you know, we don't have any marketing budget to promote it, but I think people find radio stations on the dial. When you're out in your car, it comes up CH80s. So, you know, the response has been pretty good, and we're pretty happy with it so far. I mean, I suppose bringing it back, our rationale with this is to do new and innovative ways and experiments that we can do to promote our own brand. And, you know, we've done this really successfully with Radio Nova over the years. You know, there's plenty of stuff that we've done outside the box with Radio Nova. You know, for example, at different times, we've run, you know, real-time listenership research. We've run like two temporary radio licenses. In fact, Nova was one of the very first FM radio stations to run digital brand extensions. We're running them since 2011, and now everyone's doing it. You know, we've even run media multiplier research to gauge the combined effect of radio and digital advertising. So we've done lots of things which I think have helped to reinforce the Nova brand. And I suppose our biggest challenge with Ireland's Classic Hits Radio is to push that brand. It's a dichotomy. You know, there is a dichotomy with Classic Hits. I mean, I've been the chief executive of it since the start of last year, and it's a really popular radio station. We have 300,000 listeners. So it's basically one of the largest, in fact, it's the largest radio station in Ireland, the largest commercial radio station outside Today FM and News Talk. But at the same time, it's almost like the forgotten radio station. People wouldn't talk about it quite as much as they talk about other radio stations, yet it's tremendously popular. So I suppose one of my objectives is to use every means possible to try and push our brand and to give people a sample of what it is. And that's where this idea of the temporary radio brand extension will, you know, comes into it. Because we're giving people who like 80s music, who may have tried Classic Hits in the past, you know, we've made significant changes in the last 2 years, and we want them to find us in as many places as possible and as many situations as possible, and then bring them back to our main brand. So that's at the back of all of this, why we're running the temporary radio station. And the response so far has been really good. We think if we do it again in the future, we'd have more time to prepare, and we can work, you know, on developing, you know, separate social channels, you know, maybe mailing lists, and we can do all that in the future. But for this first license, it's about the music. It's about keeping it tight, keeping presenters on, and as I say, the response so far has been really good.
So the idea that somebody who likes 80s music would go to Spotify and, you know, make any number of choices there, that's not important in this case, is it? Because you want to develop your brand, and therefore this is aimed at pushing the Classic Hits brand.
Well, when you mention Spotify, look, I mean, I think Spotify is great. I regularly, you know, dip into it. But it doesn't have the human contact, and it never will. It's like a demand-based music product, which is interesting, and it really has its place. I mean, I you know, I suppose, you know, if the question being spoken about there is how can radio compete with Spotify, and where can it find its place? I mean, I go back to before the pandemic, say 2018, 2019, and if I was asked what's unique about radio over and above Spotify, if I'd have answered, well, it's a connection, it's the personal contact, it's the human contact, I would be laughed out of the room. People would think that I still thought it was 1978. Whereas after the pandemic, that's what I believe, and that's what I would proudly say. Because at the start of the pandemic, we were all very worried, you know, whether we said it or not, because the idea was that if there was a lockdown and people went home and they were working from home, you know, what effect would that have on radio listenership? If people aren't in their cars, what are they going to listen to? And it probably wouldn't be FM radio. And that was our big worry, that radio listenership would collapse. Whereas we all saw on the first day of lockdown, the 18th of March, all radio stations' digital stats went up by 30, 40, 50%. And in fact, radio listenership is far more healthy as a result of that. And the reason was, when people went to work from home, the first thing they did was they turned on the radio. They turned on smart speakers. They turned on, you know, the all of the different radio devices, because they wanted the connection. They wanted to hear what was happening. They wanted to hear the news, and they wanted to hear something outside their own houses. And that's what radio is. And I don't think Spotify is able to beat that. I don't think it ever will. And I think that's, I suppose, with Classic Hits 80s, us playing a, you know, very carefully curated station, playing you know, the best 80s music, which we feel suits our brand, and combined with good presenters, with giving listeners the ability to contact us, to request songs and say hello. Like, that to me is something that Spotify cannot compete with. And, you know, if somebody wants to listen to 50 songs on Spotify, you know, we don't want to compete with that, and we can't compete. But I believe the vast majority of people want to listen to a radio station. And in this case, playing 80s music, and they want to do it through FM radio or streaming, but linking back to radio. So to me, I kind of wouldn't really see Spotify as being a big competitor to a brand extension like this, like Classic Hits 80s.
Okay, and what about the ongoing talk about the threat to the bottom line in radio, and indeed in legacy media in general, in terms of advertising moving to social media platforms and so on? I mean, how is the radio sector, do you think, managing now, especially in the post-COVID environment?
I think it's very challenging, and people, say, who aren't in the industry would I suppose, to a certain extent, would poo-poo this, what I'm about to say. But you know, there's huge uncertainty at the moment. You know, there's uncertainty in the revenue model. you know, in terms of, you know, the advertising agencies, vis-a-vis digital spend. All of those concerns that have been there for years and years are still there. I think there's an enormous percentage of the advertising spend, possibly 50%, is going outside the country. Perhaps the Media Commission will find some way to deal, the forthcoming Media Commission will find a way to deal with that. But one of the major issues in the last 8 or 10 years is the amount of money going to the likes of Google and Facebook and LinkedIn, TikTok, all of the social media. But, you know, even looking at the UK media with all the print media that they've had for the last number of years. So, you know, a huge percentage of the advertising spend goes outside the country. And I suppose the third thing is there's great uncertainty in the regulatory environment now, in that in the coming weeks we're going to have the disbandment of the BAI and the launch of the Media Commission. And I suppose really, you know, there's huge questions about that. You know, we don't know as an industry, I don't even know if the BAI themselves know just yet about how that's going to pan out. Is there going to be, you know, a whole floor of the new building that's dealing with radio regulation, or is it going to be one guy down the end of the corridor at a desk who's dealing with radio and all the rest of the guys deal with all the exciting media stuff? So there's huge uncertainty facing the sector, and radio stations can sink or swim. There's like nearly 2,000 people employed in the sector, you know, good, stable employment. And the radio listenership is high. The investment in news, current affairs, in the Irish language, all of that is very, very high. And if it's not protected in some form, I think there's a risk to that. That isn't to say that I believe that there shouldn't be any new entrants, there shouldn't be any new developments. Of course, I believe there should. But I do think that the sector needs to be, there needs to be consideration as to the challenges that are facing the sector.
And do you think that the Future of Media Commission report addressed many of those challenges from your point of view as CEO of commercial radio stations?
It's difficult to say because I think there has been an awful lot of attention given lately to the government's role in regulating, you know, the digital and social media platforms, you know, as a part of our role in the EU. I think they could have gone further when they talk about broadcasting. And I'm not just talking about commercial radio, I'm even talking about RTE. I mean, you know, I think there's huge questions to be asked about RTE. And I suppose I'm conflicted on that front. On the one point, I think RTE should be protected somewhat because, you know, what do people want? Do people want all of our major media to be controlled by outside countries? I don't think so. But I think, you know, so on the one hand, I believe RTE should be somewhat protected in some way. And I think the license fee is probably the way to do it. But I mean, it looks to me like they're talking about making changes and cutbacks for the last 10 years that they've never made. So, and on the other hand, I can see, you know, if we didn't have RTE, what are we going to have? We've been independent newspapers is owned by a foreign company, you know, Virgin Media is owned by a foreign company. So we do need our own indigenous media. And I suppose the BAI's perspective on that has changed. If you go back 20 years ago, it was the ownership of independent radio that, and you know, they had very strict rules about what percentage of a radio service could be owned. And then they've changed that as to it doesn't really matter to them who owns it per se. It's all about where the programs come from and who's controlling the programs, and that radio stations are meeting their PPS. So that's all very well and good, but it wasn't really addressed in the Media Commission report that I saw.